according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There's a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on earth? No, I tell you, not peace, but the sword. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We're a little bit more than halfway into our study of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And today St. Paul goes prostrate, begging for the Christians in Ephesus and for all of us a special gift or a special series of related gifts. He said, I prostrate myself before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Father, one God, one Father of all. And not just Father in the sense of paternity or origin, but Father in the sense of someone who cares, someone who wants to raise, someone who wants to bring up. St. Paul implores him that he may grant us, in accord with the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self, that we're begging the Father to strengthen us on the inside, in our mind, in our will, in our conscience, to be made stronger in each of those three areas. In which way? So that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Christ may dwell in our mind. Christ may dwell in our conscience and whisper to us. Christ may help us to use our freedom to choose the truth that will make us ever more free. So that he continues in one of his characteristic long sentences, that you rooted and grounded in love, so you're drawing everything from his love, may have the strength, and this is what I want to focus on the most today, may have the strength to understand with all the holy ones, we're never really going to understand it alone, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. When the early saints have looked at this description, breadth, length, height, and depth, they saw that St. Paul was essentially talking not just about how infinite is the Lord's love, but how he manifested that love, how he gained for us that strength, so that through the Holy Spirit we likewise may be fortified on the inside out. So we've got the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. They interpret it as the cross. This is the means by which they would know the love of Christ surpassing all knowledge, because this would be, as he would write in his first letter to the Corinthians, the wisdom of God, so that this might be the means by which we would be filled with the fullness of God, by embracing the love of Christ shown to us on that cross, which is not so much a sign of pain, as I like to stress, but a sign of the love that makes all that pain bearable. To accept this breadth, length, depth, and height is to accept Christ loving us to the extent to which he does love us, not holding us ourselves back, not thinking that we're unworthy of it. St. Paul finishes with an exclamation point to his prayer. Tim was able to accomplish far more than we seek or imagine by the power at work within us. to him be glory. He is able to go far beyond what we think possible. St. Paul prostrates himself before that Father, having reminded us in the letter to the Romans that if the Father didn't even spare his own Son, he'd give us everything else beside. That nothing whatsoever can separate us from the love of Christ, love of God, and in Christ Jesus our Lord. St. Paul wants us to experience the fullness of that cruciform love. It's a proper introduction to get to what Jesus says in a very challenging way in today's gospel. He gave the purpose of his mission. Elsewhere before Pontius Pilate, he would say, "I came to give witness to the truth." But here, he talks about his passion. "I have come to set the earth on fire." He wants to light the world ablaze. It's not that just that he wants to come as a little piece of leaven raising the world up. He wants to ignite a bonfire of love. How I wish it were already blazing. Jesus has a certain holy impatience for his love to spread with all its passion. How is that fire going to happen? There's a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Jesus was agonizing for that baptism in blood that would happen on Golgotha to be effectuated. That would be the nuclear bomb of the Lord's love that would light everything else. And Jesus, like at the Easter Vigil, is that paschal candle that wants to light us as the tapers so that we can go light others individually on fire. But he says this fire is going to be a sign of contradiction, just like he is perpetually the sign of contradiction. There are those who don't want to be lit on fire because we know that fire burns, and so many people are too afraid to get burned. They don't want to change. They don't want the dross, the impurity driven away. They prefer to remain as they are. And Jesus says, for that reason, there is going to be division, not immediately peace. Jesus would say during the Last Supper, "My peace I give you, peace is my gift to you." But here he says, don't think that I've come to establish peace, come to establish division, because not everybody's going to accept this love and this fire and want to live it. He said it's going to hit even that household. Why? Because as St. Paul said in today's first reading, all fatherhood worthy of its name takes its name from the fatherhood of God. And when people don't want to order their home geared toward that fatherhood, division ensues. And the devil's always trying to divide the family. From the first family of Adam and Eve, with Cain's killing Abel, all the way down to our own families, and to the various families that we serve. But Christ came to establish a fire that at first would divide because it's going to force people to make a choice. But then if people receive that gift for which St. Paul prostrated himself, that gift to the Spirit in our innards that can help us to appreciate the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of what God has given us so that we might know in its fullness the love of Christ, that's the means by which the family will be united in peace. The family that prays together stays together. The family that doesn't, even if they continue to cohabitate. It's this fire that Christ wishes to give us, which unites the family. Anything else is cosmetic. So the fire that burns from Calvary, this is what St. Paul prays for. This is what we need. This is the path to peace. Today, the church celebrates St. Paul of the Cross. a great saint who, when he was a young boy, whenever he was misbehaving in slight ways, whenever he was complaining about something, his mother had the habit of just simply showing him Jesus on the cross, letting him kiss the crucifix, so that he would learn how to integrate whatever minor suffering he thought he was enduring at that point to the love of the Lord. And that had an enormous impact on him. It wasn't just a thing of offering up. It was an action of uniting. And he began to see the beauty of being able to pray those little things over the course of the day that bothered him. He started to have some mystical experiences in prayer. The Lord was real. He was experiencing something of the infinite fullness of the Lord. As history happens, there was a need. The church had asked for soldiers to go and defend Venice from invading Turks. And so he went over there, but after a year he recognized he didn't have a vocation to be a soldier. So that's when he withdrew with his brother, Giovanni Battista. One of the reasons why, and this has a little bit of a history and a connection of the Sisters of Life, Cardinal O'Connor's titular church was San Giovanni e Paolo, and it's run by the Passionists, founded by St. Paul. The reason is because his name was Paul and his young brother's name was John. And the Pope at the time, because of the extraordinary way that John and Paul supported each other in their vocations as the founders of the Passionists, the Pope gave them the Church of St. John and Paul, which is where St. Paul of the Cross himself is buried. He left with his brother. They went out and spent some time in hermitages. The Lord gave him three different visions. The third vision was accompanied by the Blessed Mother, in which it was revealed to him the habit that he should have made with the image of the Passionists as soon as there was papal approval, and that their whole reason for existence was to ponder and share with others the fruits of their contemplation with regard to the depth and the length and the breadth and the height of the love of Christ shown for us on Calvary. Required many years of prayer and mortification. But eventually, St. Paul, with his brother, his support, would go out and preach parish missions, preach retreats, preach in street corners. He would always just hold the crucifix up and speak in such a way in which people were penetrated by the depth of the Lord's love to weep openly for their sins and come and receive forgiveness. The cross had never lost its power. And it was through the preaching of this fire that so many husbands recognized their sins against their wives and their kids, and the divisions that their sins had caused were able to be healed. It's through this that mothers began to recognize some of their vanity, some of their selfishness, and began to become ever more the hearth of the love in the home. It's the way so many prodigal sons and daughters were brought to conversion, to be grateful for the sacrifices of their parents, and to be able to see in their parents' love a little bit of the image of the fatherhood of God from whom every parenthood worthy of its name takes its root. It's through the preaching of that cross that they were able to be grounded and rooted in genuine love that the world can't give nor steal. St. Paul, with his namesake, St. Paul of the Cross, with all the saints, are still prostrate before the majesty of the Father in heaven, together with Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, begging that we might today receive Christ's holy fire, that we might be strengthened by the power of that tongue of fire that came down upon Mary, the apostles in the upper room, that we may be strengthened in our mind, in our will, and in our conscience, in our total interiority, to understand in its fullness the length and the breadth, the height and the depth of the love of Christ on Calvary, and be able to enter ever more deeply into sharing the truth of this mystery, so that others may be able likewise to be ignited, and the world might find the peace that Christ came into the world to bring as he unites anew the family of the Father into one family in Holy Communion. Praise be Jesus Christ.